Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please be sure to read through the announcements. We have a lot of things happening this time of the year, and there's a lot of information in there, so please read it. A couple of things just to highlight. The deadline for signing up for poinsettias is today, and also today is the last day then. We ask if you have a thank offering envelope yet to please turn those in today as well. And the offering envelopes are out, so if you haven't picked yours up yet, they are here in the annex over there by the elevator, so just be sure to stop by there after church and pick up your offering envelopes. And Rebecca, you got an announcement?
Good morning. I just have a quick update on the yam collection for the Advent calendars. Please, the baskets are out and ready to collect, but please do not put glass items like spaghetti sauce, things like that, come in glass. Yam will not accept donations that are in glass, so just make sure they're canned goods or in boxes. Thank you.
Thank you. And Pam?
On December 14th, we'll have our Christmas feast, and I have sign-up sheets for the catered meal, and they're in the annex, the narthex, and then in the fellowship hall next to the chapel is a sign-up sheet. You can also call the office and tell Amanda to put you down and how many will be attending with you. And I have a deadline that I need to call in a count on December 8th. So if you can get signed up before then, it would be great. And the congregation is asked to bring a dessert to share with everyone. So we hope everyone can come.
All right. Thank you, Pam. Terry.
Just a brief note for Sunday school. We will be practicing today for the first time, but we are going to meet downstairs and have our opening, just a real brief one real quick, and then we'll get organized and have our practice, and we'll be doing that for the next 2 weeks. And if you're not signed up, that doesn't matter. We will include you. We have plenty of space for everybody, and we want this to be a great program for everyone. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Terry. Does anybody else have announcements this morning? If not, then we begin with our opening hymn, Blessed Assurance, Please Rise.
Oh, what a fortress!
We begin the service in the remembrance of our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Blessed is he who comes as King, who comes in the name of the Lord. I will hear what the Lord God has to say. Peace for all people and for his friends. His help is near for those who fear him. Blessed is he who comes as King, who comes in the name of the Lord. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, imploring him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you and for which I justly deserve your punishment. But I am sorry for them and repent of them and pray for your boundless mercy for the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ. Be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Forgive my sins and give me your Holy Spirit for the amendment of my sinful life and bring me to life everlasting. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. And today we light the first candle of the Advent wreath. And at this time then, I would invite the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. I hope everybody is still full from all the good food at Thanksgiving, but more importantly, that you had a good Thanksgiving with family and friends. And I hope we're ready to start learning about the story that's coming forward now. I have a question to start with. Find us a spot here. Don't worry about it. We'll move over if you need to. What color do you usually think about when you think of Christmas?
Green and red.
Yes, that's right. Green and red. And white. Well, we'll get to that. Yeah. We're going to get there. But look around here. Do you see a lot of green and red?
No.
No? What do you see up here?
White.
What colors do you see up here?
Brown.
No. What do you see on the front there? What's Pastor wearing?
Blue.
Blue. And that can be kind of confusing because everything's blue, but look up there.
Purple.
The Advent wreath has got a different color. Interesting, isn't it? Well, you know what? Maybe. We'll talk about that. Okay? I want to show you, this was for my very first Advent wreath. And yes, I am a pack rat. Okay? Because this is when I was young. And what color are they?
Blue.
So my Advent candles were blue. But sometimes it gets confusing because those are purple. Well, we're going to talk about that in the next few weeks. But let's talk about this color first, blue. Blue is kind of interesting. And I can see why they used it back then in the Advent wreath and why we still have some of the blue here now. Okay? Because, first of all, when you see blue, what do you think about? Sadness, but what else? I just came from the beach. What do you think I was looking at that was blue? Water. Water is in waves. And that was what creation was. When God made the world, the very first thing that was there was water. And what else do we have in our church that's very special? That's water. It's around the corner over there, and little babies usually, it doesn't necessarily have to be babies. Baptism. So the blue can be a symbol for baptism, too. So I can see why they're using that, but there's more. There's loyalty. Blue stands for loyalty. Isn't that what faith is? Being loyal to God? Isn't that what he is to us? Is he loyal to us? Yeah, he is. And some of the other things, wisdom. Wisdom. It stands for wisdom, too. Who has the most wisdom, you or me?
Jesus.
Ah, there it is. Jesus has, God has the most wisdom, and Jesus has the most wisdom. Right. Very much so. And so I can see why they used blue. And you know what? Some churches still do, and that's okay. But now, when you go to some place that has blue Advent candles, now you know why they do. And the other thing that the blue stands for, and this is very important, especially coming off of Thanksgiving, when everybody's busy making stuff and getting together and everything, and now Christmas is coming. So everybody's going out and doing the shopping, and everybody's trying to get all the Christmas decorations up, and everything's kind of crazy, and our world has a bunch of kind of disagreements and wars and everything in it. Blue also stands for calm and peace. Now can you see why we have blue in the Advent candles? And we have blue on our pyramids and in the church? Because calm and peace, that's what Advent is about. Taking some time for calm and peace and to look at the fact that Jesus is coming. And that's what we're going to look at in the next few weeks. We've got just blue today, but there's more colors to talk about. So you'll have to come back. But let's do a prayer real quick. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the chance to be together at Thanksgiving. And now help us as we turn our focus to you. To you coming to help us in this world. To be with us in this world. To show us what we can be in this world. And to show us a world to come. All of this as a little baby. Help us to find that calm and peace in the world. Help us to find wisdom from you. And help us, as we get ready for you in the next few weeks, to keep ourselves centered and focused on you. Amen. And you can go back. And also, we will sing then our first verse of our Light One Candle.
The Lord be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day.
Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first lesson is from Isaiah chapter 2. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it, and many peoples will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord, the word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. Psalm 122, the congregation will respond in the bold. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Jerusalem, built as a city that is bound firmly together. Their thrones for judgment were set, the thrones of the house of David. Peace be within your walls, and security within your towers. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. The second lesson is from Romans chapter 13. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides, this you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 24th chapter. Jesus said, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever had to just let out a sigh? Maybe, I know my mom had to do that every once in a while. We would come in, we'd find a mud puddle, and we'd just be covered in mud. And that's all mom would do. She wouldn't get mad. She knew better than that, because kids are kids. And she allowed us to get dirty. But she knew she had her work ahead of her, because she had to... She'd take the garden hose and just spray us off before we could come into the house. Or you go out in the morning ready to go off to work or go off to wherever you're going to do, and your car has a flat. What do? Just let out a sigh. You could get angry, but that's not going to do you any good. You can kick it. That may make you feel better, but it really doesn't do anything for the situation. You just let out a sigh. You gather yourself together, and you deal with it. Either you find another ride, or you fix the tire, or you find somebody else to fix the tire for you. Sometimes we just need to take a breath. We need to stop, take in a deep breath, and let it out. Because the world is anxious. We get anxious. You know, we've just come through Thanksgiving weekend, or we're at the end of Thanksgiving weekend, and I sure hope you had good get-togethers with families or with friends, or maybe you took a trip. If you got together, if you might have had a house full at your own house where everybody comes to your house. And it was an anxious time to a certain extent, or before it happened, it was an anxious time. You had to clean the house, you had to prepare the food, you had to make invitations, you had to make counts, make sure tables were there, chairs were there, all the things were there. And then even at the event, I hope things went well, but sometimes they don't always do that. Something is missing, something didn't turn out right. Two uncles are going at it in politics or religion. Sometimes it just doesn't work. Sometimes it's an anxious time when everybody gets together. For the most part, you enjoy it, but there are things that can go wrong with it. And all you can do is sigh or take a deep breath and let it out. Our gospel lesson is somewhat of an anxious Bible reading this morning. Jesus is talking about the end times. He's talking about no one knows when it's going to happen. No one knows. The Son doesn't know. Even the angels don't know. Only God the Father knows when the end of the world will happen, of when that will take place. And then he gives the example of Noah. Noah's out there building the ark just like God told him to do. People had no clue. They didn't know what was coming. They didn't expect what was coming. That a flood would wipe everybody out? No way. That's not going to happen. And so they thought Noah was a little crazy, maybe. You know, he's up there. And I can just see people coming by and passing by and saying, "Hey, Noah, you're building a farm way up there. Maybe you need to go to the funny farm." People just didn't understand. They went about their normal business, but the business they were going about was humanly business. It says they were marrying and giving away in marriage. They were eating. They were partying. They were doing whatever they did. Just the busyness of life. They had no clue what was coming. Even though the message was clear, there was no mistaking an ark was a boat for animals. There was going to be a flood, and they paid no attention to it. We're in the midst, or we're at the very beginning of Advent this morning. Advent is a time, Advent actually means coming. Something is coming. And what we celebrate this Advent is we celebrate the coming celebration of the birth of Christ. We know that will be happening here within, 25 or 26 days from now will be the celebration of Christmas. But as Christians then too, that's a celebration of something that happened in the past, that God sent his only Son into the world to save us. And that event transpired. Jesus was born. He grew up. He taught. He preached. He bring life to people. He raised people up. He performed miracles, he healed people, and he taught them about the coming of the kingdom of God. Those events are in the past. Jesus went to the cross and he died for us, and he rose again. We know that, but we celebrate that birth of this Savior coming into the world in another month. Today we are in Advent. And so as we look and prepare for that celebration, we're also preparing for something else. We're preparing for the return of Christ, because Christ has made that promise that he is coming again. But again, too, our times seem to be anxious. We've just gotten through the Thanksgiving weekend. And if you were the one who hosted at your house, well, maybe you're just kind of letting out a sigh as you look at the house and all the stuff that's still in there and that needs to be put away and cleaned up. Or if you have traveled, then you let out a sigh because you have made it safely home. Or maybe while you were driving, you just had to let a sigh as you were creeping along at 10 miles an hour because of a traffic jam. And now we got to do it all over again in another month. And this time it's even bigger, because now you got to go shopping for all the Christmas gifts, plan for travel, plan for more celebrations. It just gets to be an anxious time. It's a wonderful time. It's a wonderful family time to spend time with your family or spend time with your friends, and of giving of gifts to other people. It's a wonderful time, but it can also be very stressful, and it can be very anxious. And what we can do is take a breath and let it out. Somewhat of a sigh. And that's kind of what Advent is. It's a time to stop. It's a time to stop and take a breath. It's time to stop and think about what we are actually celebrating. We're celebrating that birth. But yes, we are still anticipating that second coming of Christ as well. Stop and think about those things. Advent has been described as a mini Lent. It's actually a repentant time to stop and think. How do I change my life? How do I stop and focus upon what truly matters? How do I stop and focus upon my faith in Jesus Christ? Lent is a time, it can be a time of fasting. It is a time of prayer and of meditation. It's a time to think that these are holy days, not just holidays, but holy days, because of what's surrounding all these events of Christ coming to this earth and of Christ returning once again. And so we stop. We take a deep breath, we sigh, and we wait for that coming of Christ. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, "Soon and Very Soon."
Thank you.
Please rise. In Christ you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith.
We believe in one God, Father, Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God,
eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. As we await the coming of Christ, let us pray for the church, the world, and for all people according to their need.
Stir up your power, O Lord, and purify your church. Make it a holy dwelling, fit it for your Son. Make it home of all whom you have redeemed. Make it your house of prayer for all peoples. Lord, in your mercy. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come to the aid of your persecuted church. Lift up their heads, strengthen their faith, and deliver them from their enemies. Set free those who hate you from the bondage to sin, and give all of us grace to bear witness to Christ until he comes again in glory. Lord, in your mercy. Stir up your power, O Lord, and guide all who walk in the path of discipleship. Give them grace to listen, ponder, and obey your word. In all they do, help them prepare your way into the hearts of others, especially those who walk in the darkness of doubt or despair. Lord, in your mercy. Stir up your power, O Lord, and grant your spirit to the leaders of the nations. Give them wisdom, humility, prudence, and integrity. Remind them that they must give an account of their stewardship of authority to you. Lord, in your mercy. Stir up your power, O Lord, and banish violence, injustice, and hatred from this death-shadowed world. Give your spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might to all who stand in harm's way on our behalf. Lord, in your mercy. Stir up your power, O Lord, and bring healing and hope to all whose need is great. Deliver them from all that darkness that darkens their lives. Give patience, gentleness, and respite to caregivers, and shine the light of your love upon us all. Especially we lift before you Lynn Magura, Elaine Molina, Rosa Harton, Joe Barnes, Janet Lemke, Ronald and Marjorie Wilhelmson, Gary Moses, Jesse Herda, and Bridget Innocenti. Lord, in your mercy. Stir up your power, O Lord, and raise from the shadows of death all who have fallen asleep in you. Help us to comfort those who grieve in the season of feasting and joy. Help us to encourage one another in steadfast faith and deeds of charity, until Jesus returns in glory. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you see that we need, grant to us, dear Father, for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. O mighty one, you have done great things for us, and holy is your name. Bless all we offer you, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, that through us your grace and favor may be made known to all the world. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is ready.
Thank you.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Please rise. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. And we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. For our blessing this morning, we sing the benediction to the tune of Edelweiss. Closing hymn, Joy to the World. Forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.